Well, the NATO alliance was formed after World War II for collective defense, especially against what was perceived as a growing threat then from the communist Soviet Union. We just heard about NATO's involvement in Afghanistan, perhaps drawing to a close. We've reported on perhaps a rapid response force being ramped up for Eastern Europe. But where else should NATO be? Should there be an equivalent of special forces, kind of NATO SEALs, to drop in on ISIS? Let's bring in former U.S. Ambassador to NATO, Nicholas Burns. He served on the National Security Council under both Presidents Bush and Clinton. He joins us from Harvard University, where he teaches at the Kennedy School. Ambassador Nick, welcome.
Thank you.
And your overall thoughts about the summit. John Cassidy writes in The New Yorker that Putin has done NATO a big favor by pulling the group together.
Well, he has. I think, you know, Putin has unwittingly reminded us of the importance of Europe to the United States. Europe's still the largest trading partner to the U.S. It's the largest investor in the U.S. And we have the largest collection of American allies, 26, and Canada in the NATO alliance. And what Putin has done is disrupt the democratic peace that we've enjoyed for about a quarter of a century since the end of the Cold War. And he's drawn new dividing lines in Europe by marching into Crimea and annexing it, now by destabilizing eastern Ukraine. So I think what you're seeing in Wales, that President Obama and his colleagues are having to, you know, meet this threat anew through sanctions against Russia, through strengthening NATO, through this new rapid reaction force that Ari Shapiro talked about. And it does remind us of how vital Europe and Canada are to the basic security of the United States. That's why NATO is still a vital institution.
Well, address that for just a second, because you know, I'm sure, that sometimes when you mention NATO, NATO forces in Afghanistan, there's a bit of eye rolling. There's a bit of a sense of, oh, yes, the coalition of the willing, a sense that there's a winking approach to NATO forces, that they're not really effective, they're not really there in numbers. Your sense of NATO military forces?
Well, you know, there has been some criticism over the years, but mainly by people maybe who are unilateralists or isolationists in our own country who don't think that we ought to be have these big alliances that we enjoy in Europe and in Asia. But boy, I'll tell you, as someone who was involved in U.S. government for a long time, we shouldn't want to act alone in the world. We're supremely powerful. We're still the most powerful country in the world, but we need help. We needed it in Iraq once we got stuck in Iraq and the occupation there. In August 2003, NATO volunteered to go into Afghanistan, and all the NATO countries have served with us, and they've pulled their weight. And I can tell you from my own experience looking at those troops in Afghanistan that the British, the French, are first-rate military powers, and we need that kind of help. We shouldn't want to be alone in the world. We shouldn't want to have to pay the financial burden or the cost of being isolated politically if you don't have friends. And so I think that NATO is still the premier military alliance for the United States, and President Putin has awoken it, and you now see an alliance very much alive in Cardiff.
And NATO forces have been killed in these places. And the White House now says it's time to take the alliance into other places, Iraq, Syria, maybe Africa. But just staying with that, you know, are the forces ready? Former U.S. Defense Secretaries Leon Panetta and Robert Gates have both openly worried about whether NATO's prepared. Gates says the NATO alliance was on its way to military irrelevance. And he's the one who says that after NATO took command of the air war against Gaddafi in Libya, they were running out of basics like bombs, and that's why the U.S. had to step in. So, yes, they are valuable. The U.S. should not go it alone, but are they ready?
Well, some of them are and some of them are not. We have 27 allies in NATO. I think what we saw in Bosnia and Kosovo in the 1990s, in Libya in 2011, certainly in Afghanistan since 2003, is that we have a small group of very capable allies who are spending on their national defense, Britain and France. I mentioned them before. But some of the newer countries, Poland, for instance, in Eastern Europe, are doing the same thing. It is true that the United States, since the inception of NATO in 1949, has been about three-quarters, represented three-quarters of the strength of NATO. So 75% of the defense spending in the NATO alliance is the United States. But the alliance has always been dominated by the extraordinary military power of the United States. Mm. I just lived through the Balkan Wars of the 1990s when I was working in Washington and saw what happened to us after 9/11, how we went into Afghanistan only with Britain. and didn't invite the NATO allies in until a year and a half later, it weakened us. Yeah. And so I think Americans should expect that there are democratic countries out there willing to fight with us. Some of them are strong. Some of them are not so strong. But, boy, I would rather have allies fighting with you than trying to fight alone in the world or face all these extraordinary challenges like ISIS or Putin invading Ukraine or determining what to do in Afghanistan in the future, because I certainly think that NATO should not leave in 2016.
Well, Nicholas Burns, we're hearing a phrase, global security hub, building out partnerships built in Afghanistan, but using new means of training. And we're also hearing about things like a rapid response force to be used in Eastern Europe. So, but what might it look like? Might there be a more refined NATO force that might be the equivalent of a Navy SEALs that would go fight ISIS? What might it look like in about the minute we have?
I don't think you'll see NATO Navy SEALs. NATO is primarily for the defense of its members, and that's its great military strength. When we go on the offensive, what we find is that there's a core of countries, it might be 6 to 10 countries, that actually do most of the fighting. Some of our allies, Luxembourg, Iceland, are quite small. So every member contributes what they can, but that collective whole is the strongest military alliance in modern history. And we're very fortunate to be at the head of that alliance. And that's why I think the president's right to be at NATO, at this NATO summit in Wales, and wish him well.
And very briefly, I just want to ask you how this might have been received by NATO. Yesterday, we heard Vice President Biden say to the ISIS militants, "We'll follow you to the gates of hell." President Obama, much more muted. Is that a mixed message to NATO?
I think we are seeing mixed messages from the administration. It's understandable. This is a new threat. It's a very complex one. So in the next week or two, the president needs to come to the American people in Congress and say, here's how we're going to contain or defeat ISIS. I think that is job number one right now.
Former U.S. Ambassador to NATO Nicholas Burns. He's now at Harvard's Kennedy School. He served under both Presidents Bush and Clinton. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you.